Hello, Attactioneers. Welcome to the Attack Action Podcast. I'm your host, with the most, Taylor Morrow. I'm here with all of my best friends, Colin, Blake, and Zane. Zane, what's going on?
And I'm the host who opened a gold foil bone vizier.
Somebody just did that
flex
again. Somebody opened a bone vizier at a nationals or something.
Yeah, like PTI event maybe.
Would you rather have COVID or open up a second gold bone vizier?
It was like somebody opened second place opened 12 petal Kasaya. And first place opened bone vizier.
Dude, they need to work on their pulls. That's terrible. Jeez.
Wow. It was crazy. Great job.
Sad.
Blake, no, what's going on with you, dude?
Dude, people are buying Bolton decks on purpose. It was crazy seeing them out in the wild.
They weren't just like tricked into it?
No. They literally went to their game store, spent $45, and they were like, let's not put other Majestics in there. Let's just play it raw. It's pretty interesting not having to play around Beacon. That does solve the matchup a little bit for his bad matchups. You can just go, oh, okay, how many? But they always have the D react on turn zero, and they always have the attack react on turn one. So just go first. That way, or go second, so they have to arsenal the D-react instead of having it on turn zero. That's a pro tip. Interesting seeing how good those equipment pieces actually are, because if you're wearing Soulbound Resolve, they block for three each if you charge a soul. So you're blocking three for your head, your chest, your head, your arms, your whatever. That gets you three soul. The chest gets you four and five soul. And now you're just so far ahead on soul where it's like, wait, I thought you had to build up to this. And this is kind of for full free. And like people are even doing it on turn zero. If you attack on turn zero, we got right in the gameplay, but it is like you're getting soul before we even like tick down any health. And like, seems like Bolton, if that was a strategy for you, now you can play Lumina Lance because you're like plus five on soul instead of like, oh, I'm only plus two.
Tight. Colin, how are you?
Man, I love armory decks. That's not true. I've never played any of them, but my that lad. Sounds fun. I'm great. Life just keeps lifing hard and, you know, I'm just hanging on for dear life right now.
The reality of a millennial hanging on for dear life.
Jesus Christ, what is happening? I didn't even, you know, sometimes when I'm just hanging out with my bros, I forget about all the troubles in the world. And it's, you know, I don't take that for granted. I want you guys to know that.
That's a big part of why we do this, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the craziest about Saturday?
That in the money.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
The bone viziers.
Yeah.
Hey. You can buy a whole booster box. On Saturday, right after we did our, like, let's talk about what we're talking today, I went to the therapist over the phone. So it was like, let's refigure out our whole life. Let's. Okay, you're going to do this and like get refocused and rededicated. And then 3 hours later was the press conference or whatever. And jeez. I was just like, go to sleep and like eat pizza. And okay.
You do seem different though. Like you have a new outlook on life. You seem fixed is what I'm saying.
Oh, great.
I will just say congratulations. I don't know if you'd been going already, but congratulations. That's awesome. I love therapy.
Just for like 11 years or 10 years. Or it's about to be 10 years. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know.
A good practice.
Yeah.
Not absolutely. Consistently. I did ask. I was like, is it time for me to get on medication? And she goes, based on everything I know, no. You just got to actually do the shit I tell you to do. I was like, fuck.
What a dope
I was
therapist.
I'm really hoping I could just
did she like
start taking lorazepam or something like that and
Based on everything I know about you, no.
Jeez.
How does it feel to get red like that?
Yeah. You could not handle it.
Yeah. I'm really bad at taking medicine anyway, so I'd forget to do that.
So. I hate taking medicine. Anyway, great stories, everybody. Welcome.
Zane, how are you doing?
We asked him first.
Taylor, how are you doing?
Oh, thanks. Nobody asked me. Hey, I'm doing great. Apparently, I got a cool guy look on for today. Mm-hmm. And so
it's the angle of the hat.
I'm in the pop collar. I'm a cool guy today. So I'm doing great.
Is that tattoo healed? Looking good?
Yeah, it's looking good. Uh-huh. We got to go in for touch-ups.
Can you make it like dance? Like those cool old...
You know, hello, my darling. Hello, my song. Hello, my Clement.
If you flex your fingers, does he talk?
Yeah. Yes.
Leave it on top.
Yeah.
Bottom.
Whoa. You should get bottom written on your thumb and then top on your pinky and really confuse a lot of gay men in your area.
That's awesome. Welcome to episode 94.
Ooh.
Titled Why So Serious? Why? AKA episode 2 of Bev Chat. We're doing a series now. We've decided called Bev Chat, and this is episode 2. Episode 1 was episode 93. So if this naming convention is confusing, it is intentional. As any good podcast, there's like weird...
We should have breadcrumbed you a little bit better in the name.
There's always some weird inside joke with every podcast, and it makes you feel like you know what the hell's going on, the listener. Right. And if you're a new listener, it just makes you either not continue to listen or go listen to every episode we've ever done and then feel like you're our best friend. And you are our best friend. So thank you for being here and joining the best friend group. We had a bummer episode last time in part one of episode one of Bev Chat, but now
you're welcome.
An important bummer
that needed to be talked about. Now we're going to try to be less serious and talk about fun parts of the game. And it's a weird time for everybody except for a select 500 people in the flesh and blood community, because they're all stressed out trying to just fucking, I'm going to Amsterdam and I gotta
they don't watch the news.
Yeah, totally, that too. Those people don't watch the news because they're testing so much to try to win Pro Tour Amsterdam. But for the rest of us, it's a dark time, a dark weird time where the game is happening, something exciting is happening that we are not going to participate in whatsoever and have nothing on the horizon for us to also participate in. So what do you do? And how do you keep playing? How do you have fun, etc.? So we're just going to kind of fucking bullshit about that. But
these are all tried and true, tested, in the test kitchen. The scientist backed, guaranteed, you know, FDA money back, approved. FDA approved, FCC approved, your mother approves, like everybody. So,
thank God.
Yeah. Finally, Jesus, I've been waiting 40 years.
Before we get to that though, we have to not talk about flesh and blood for at least 30 to an hour and a half minutes before we talk about the main topic. So who wants to show and tell first about their life? It's great. You guys are really excited.
We just did that.
Did we?
I talked about my therapist.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck.
And I'm all out of order.
What you could do is, this is the first time you've been on the podcast where you're not within punching distance, where you could say anything about my house to embarrass me, and I could not fight back, and I'd have to go like this and put my hand in my head, or be like, God, Blake's just house, don't say that.
Blake's house
I
is
got
dope.
The spiders.
It has like a dope view of Silver Lake Reservoir. Like, it's pretty. People pay a lot for that view, so it's pretty cool. And you got a cool leather couch.
Hmm.
Blake nice did not show me the inside of his bedroom.
Well, that's true. Fine. I don't think it's I showed you the inside of my
bedroom. You haven't, but yours has a separate person dwelling in there sometimes. So
it's true.
Okay, Snake I'm single. Too. Okay. We get it.
Haven't you seen that poster on his floor? He's got a nice looking guy in there.
No, that's going to get hung up eventually.
Hell yeah. Right after your next therapy session. Oh, God. I don't know. Fucking. All right, fine. Live stuff.
Yeah, dude. You told us some cool shit.
We're trying to buy a house, I guess. Thank you. See? You know,
people want to know.
Fuck. Why not? It's a thing that's always caused me a lot of anxiety, and I guess now I can just do it, which is weird. So yeah, I don't know. We put an offer in on a house. It's further away than I thought I would live, but it's not that far. It's about the same distance to Odyssey from my house to this place. Or, you know, from this place to Odyssey. So, you know.
That's a win.
That's a win. I'm still in the same school district. Fab Armory Styles.
I quote, I'm out in the sticks. He says to me, literally living in sticks.
The sticks of Los Angeles. I'm like not the farthest you can be and still be in Los Angeles City, but it's pretty far. But it's crazy that it's, you wouldn't think it's actually Los Angeles City, but it is.
So was that today that you submitted? What's like the timeline?
Like fucking minutes ago submitted an offer.
I was about to say, I didn't know this happened, but it's 6 minutes old.
Yeah.
The ink is not yet dry.
Well, it is because it's digital. So, you know, you click like in 100 places and it signs and you're like, I guess this is all fine. I hope so. And then we see what happens next.
Hopefully an adult read this.
Yeah. Seriously, Jesus. Oh, my God. There was too many pages. I was like, honey, I got to go record this podcast. I'm just going to sign this. And good luck to us. So, yeah, that's what I got going on. So my life might get completely upturned. The house has a cool little podcast room.
That's what I like to hear.
The previous tenant has like a little microphone and a computer and like this like thing. I was just like, Jess is like, look, honey, you could do your podcast in here. And I was like, you just want the 4-car garage as your own personal workspace is what you're trying to go for. But yeah, I don't know. It's cool. It's definitely a bigger place than I thought we could get, but that's because it's fucking far away. So, you know, we will see how that goes.
Cool. Congratulations. I hope everything works out great and there's no mold, no rat infestation or anything like that.
What are the people that live inside your walls?
It's a Japanese term, I think, and it's so scary to read the Wikipedia about.
Yeah, I don't want to. Never mind. Everyone erase that from their thought. Who else? Who's got something fun to share with a bunch of people that's very personal?
That's not that personal. I have been in summer project mode. So we're doing a garden expansion at my house. And it's looking great. Finally got rid of all the grass. Mostly Maria did that. But I made a new outdoor table. And we have this old cast iron bench that like fell apart. And so I bought some wood and fixed it. And now it's beautiful and works great and looks awesome. So we're making all these new like little hang zones in the garden. So it's not just like a thing to look at. You can go hang in it. So that's what's going on with me. Pretty stoked about it. It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
There you go. There's something personal that was fun.
I've seen some pictures and it's looking good. It's like the garden is infesting the rest of the area rather than, you know, vice versa.
Absolutely.
It keeps growing and growing. And there was two gardens and they became one garden.
It became one garden. And then, we stopped by our local game store. Shout out to Northern Realms Trading Card Games. Bought some new dice for D&D And then I was like, let's get some freaking packs. And Maria, my wife, who's a person in her own right, was like, hell yeah, let's get some for me too. And I was like, dope. So we opened some packs and I opened the Maragai sand was the big hit.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Living legends.
Nice. Like,
living legends. Phantasm.
It's pretty sick art. I really like it. It has great colors. It's great. Just, I forgot that was like a thing that could happen. And I was like, oh, cool. Is this better than a hero? I don't know.
This oh, you guys are framing it or?
I got it right here. Bam.
Oh.
He does it right there. I thought this was a goof.
In the top loader.
Wow. Yeah. Well, because it's foil emissaries in the back, which was kind of sick. I don't know. I just forgot this was in my pocket here in my jacket. And here we go.
Because you're too busy looking cool.
Yeah, cool, dude. Cool. I use my pockets.
That's that country living, you know? Out here in the city, we don't need pockets.
Don't need them.
I wore one pair of raw denim so long, and I am like still refusing to give up that they're dead. But the pocket ripped, so I brought them in to get fixed, which is a thing.
Yeah.
Fixed it. Then over time, slowly, the stupid like second level of the iPhone cameras ripped the stitching of the pocket like that connected the pocket. So now I had a hole at the bottom that got patched, and then the thing that connected the pocket to the jean detached slowly, which started as a dime, and then now it's bigger than my phone. And I brought it into my local tailor who does my jeans. And he just looked at me and he said, no. And I said, please. He said, no. So then I kept wearing those jeans and I would only put my phone in my like breast pocket of this jacket that I wore well into summer because I wanted to keep using those jeans. But I think I have to say goodbye.
Damn. Dude, that's crazy. How can he not fix the pocket?
He was just like, you can't. Like, they're too, it's too gone.
I can't believe you've just been walking around with all this and not telling us about this stuff.
Dude, it's a thing. You wear your raw denim, and then I've had to learn how to patch my own pants because I live in the actual sticks.
Because you're your local tailor? Let's go, Blake! Let's go!
Got it.
Anyway. I had to get the like the crotch like restitched because it like slowly comes apart.
Yeah.
But he put a patch there, which when I wear them through TSA, they always say, "Oh, is there? We have to check." And then they're right up in there, making sure that it's not a weapon.
Should have got them darned. You can go get them darned.
Oh, them darned ripped jeans.
Darned.
Yeah. So it's like a. Anyway, there's a machine that will like basically reweave textiles back on there and match this, the color.
This story reminds me of when I was younger and I had ripped my pocket in my regular jeans. I don't know what kind of denim they were. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
You know, manufactured, post-processed jeans, denim.
I think they were raw.
I don't think they were, but
at one point they were.
The pocket had like fallen apart, and so me and my, you know, wisdom decided to staple the pocket closed.
Love that.
And I'm on a date with this girl that I worked with. It was like one of the first times that I like got up the courage to like just straight up ask a girl out on a date. You know, usually I just like weaseled my way in there. And like I go to put my hand in my pocket and the staple just goes like right into my finger. And then like I pull my hand out and there's just like, I'm like, we're just like walking around and talking and I just like pull my hand out. And I'm just like, oh my God. And I just like slowly pull the staple out of my finger and then just go about my date.
And you were like 32 at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. it was not my now wife. And yeah, no, that's not at all true. She had to tell me to kiss her and I was terrified.
Your wife did?
Yeah, that's how we met.
Oh, nice. Anyways. Junior high, I was pressured to like kiss my girlfriend at the time, and I was just like, no, stop it. I'm not ready. But I will go to this dance and grind on some butts. Anyway, here you go.
Dude, grinding's great.
Dude, we should do a whole, I could do a time snap potion episode about how life-changing 8th junior high dances were for me.
Dude, I didn't go to any, unless you count bar mitzvahs. I went to a lot of bar mitzvahs, so I guess those were junior. But then everyone's parents there, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a single bar mitzvah.
You want to go to mine?
I think it's too late. I went to a quinceañera, though.
Hell yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah, I've been to a bunch of those, but never a bar
mitzvah. They were like, how are you so good at the cumbia? I was like, I've got the rhythm.
Blake is a good dancer. That's a little fact.
Yeah.
Blake's a great dancer.
Yeah, he's got the like gyroscopic moves.
That should honestly not come as a surprise, though.
No. He can't help it.
Slide into Blake's DMs. He's got moves. You know what I'm saying? Look at him go right now. Watch this video part of our podcast. All right. Great life updates. I don't care what else is happening with anybody else. It's been 22 minutes. We got to move on.
Some of my life updates are fab related, so I was saving them for the appropriate fab drops.
Okay. Last thing before maybe, I don't know if we have any shout outs, but this is in the document, so I'm going to talk about it here. We're taking bets. There's a bet between the four of us about how many attendees there are at Battle Hardened San Diego.
San Diego.
Correct.
Beautiful place.
Are we saying the numbers?
We're going to say them so keeps us honest.
And
so
we did decide Price is Right rules.
Correct.
Is that right? Everyone's on board?
Closest without going over. Yep.
That's just my default because I love Price is Right. But
the only rule that exists.
Okay.
But if we all go over, do we have to redo it next year? Or is it just whoever's
we all lose.
Yeah, we all lose.
Whichever listener is closest without going over wins.
Just sad trombone.
Damn. And this is for $3,000. So that's a lot of...
Thank you, AGE.
It's like worth bringing in
this bet between us.
I don't know where they got that money, but it'll be good to go.
Let's each go around and say the numbers. I don't know why. I said 120 players.
Oh, I said 115.
Ooh.
Oh my god.
I said 103.
I think there's a tournament like the week after this. So based on the numbers of San Francisco being 100, I thought San Diego would be 85.
Mm. Wow. Incredible.
Sleeping on San Diego. All right.
Well, you know, it's just too close to Comic-Con, so people are like, I can't go back to back. Like
Sleepless in San Diego.
Which now does it behoove us to skip or go, us individuals? Because now if I go and I'm the 86th person, that's gonna be so stupid. I'm gonna lose out on $3,000 and get 37th place.
No, if you're 86, you win.
No, he went over. 86 is over 85, Colin.
No, but your guess is closest without going over.
Okay.
So 85 is
I have
under
to
86.
Go to get above 85.
Yeah.
Yeah.
85 counts. If it's 85 is not over 85.
Okay.
That's true. Yeah, okay.
True. You know? I just didn't think of it that way.
Okay. That's
fine. I
can't
believe I said the most. Anyway, there we go.
Well, you don't believe in San Diego either?
That's not true. That's why we have Blake.
If anyone is coming from out of town and wants to know about San Diego, feel free to message me.
Where's the best tacos and burritos? I just started a war. You're welcome.
Chipotle.
Isn't it Los Luchadores or the Luchador taco place?
That place is like fine. Oh. It's good. Like it's good, but it's not like I don't seek it out.
They serve their What's tacos the on place? Frisbees if you want.
Do yeah, they throw and they do have.
If you ask him.
Yeah.
Sick.
They do call the orders out with like the announcer's microphone, which is pretty cool.
Do they still have the champions booth? That's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
They do. Yeah. At both locations.
Because you call ahead. So go now for that day. And You get on a list. They give you a password. I did it once, and it was amazing. There's a long-ass line for tacos, but two people at a time can go sit in the champions booth, and that's the only people in the entire restaurant that have a waitress, and you bypass the entire line of, like, 35 people, and they bring out all your shit and, like, hit the bell for you, and it was like, this is the coolest. Like, I like wrestling. My friend is very into luchador stuff, so it was a like, oh, this is amazing.
That's funny.
It's fun. They really sell it. Yeah,
let's go. Why aren't we going?
A similar hack.
I'm down.
In a soup place here, RIP to Jaffe's, no longer open. But like, if you would show up, there would be a fat line. But if you knew you wanted Jaffe's, you call in your order to go and then just show up, skip the line, take your stuff, and everybody's waiting in line. Nobody's seating down. And then you just go sit down.
Yeah. That's just like the hack. Larchmont Wine and Cheese, where they have great sandwiches. You can wait in line, or you just call ahead and pick that shit up right at the fucking checkout.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Dude. Let's go.
It's almost like that.
All the places. Should we just do a food podcast?
Oh my God.
Live? Wait, we should do a podcast live from the Champions
the food. Snack action podcast?
Whoa! Blake's 2 for 2. Shall we talk about the part of this episode that's flesh and blood related now that it's...
Honestly, before we go there...
Shout out.
Oh, okay, perfect. And Blake has 400 things more to say.
I can go after. Oh, okay. I'll for sure lose my train of thought, and it'll be more fun.
Blake has a question that he's gonna just state his opinion and never ask a question. Really?
Also, Blake, you think it's fun when you lose your train of thought?
It can be.
It's the only way I don't keep talking.
It's because he gets lost in the middle of it.
Maybe I'll flash something on the screen. To distract you.
I can do that. Stop doing stand-up is you only get 5 minutes.
I can do that right now. I know how to flash things on screen. Shout-outs. I was just going to shout out everybody that has been responding to our last episode. We had a lot of like nice comments. Some of them were kind of sad. Some people kind of empathize, and like it hit so deep that they were just like, yeah, I think I'm done. And I was just like, fuck, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this. This was supposed to be like a cathartic thing where we get through it together. But you know what? It is what it is. It happens. That was the kind of the whole point of the episode, is that life can be difficult. We can't always hang on to things that we want to because they just can't work the way they used to. And we should just appreciate them and enjoy them the time that we have. Just like everything, you know, but I just thought it was like a lot of nice responses, and you know, I hope that people are figuring out their relationship, their changing relationship with this game, and finding the solace and like the friends and the activities that we do, and not just focusing solely on the grindy competitive nature that they keep shoving down our throats all the time is the only way to engage with this game, which is kind of what we're going to be talking about today. And that's it. So, you know, shout out to you.
Nice. Okay, Blake, go.
No, I lost my train of thought. It's
perfect. Main topic time then. We'll come back to you if it...
Shout outs. You have any shout outs, Taylor? No.
I don't have any shout outs for the first time in forever.
I just shouted out every single person, you know, so...
There's nobody left.
Oh. You should go for it, Blake. Go. Who you got?
Shout outs to the guys that bought the Bolton decks. You know, there's a Bolton chat that's brewing on one of my Discords, and it's really funny to watch as somebody who's spent probably 3 months playing Bolton of maybe I'm at 5 months. Let me say it's as big as possible so I can be like, I know everything. But it's very funny to watch people go through the same cycles of like, this deck is really good. How about we try this? Oh, it'd be so much better if we could do this. Why don't we pick our own pet card? The pet card's not working. And like, we're getting to the thing where it's like, we're about to bust this wide open. We're about to literally, like, Bolton could be the best deck in the entire format. It just loses only to Zen. I'm not talking about that chat. If that person's listening, I'm talking about a separate chat. But, like, they're just, like, super into it. And, like, this deck's super good. And, like, if this deck was super good, it would have won stuff by now. Did Bolton need more defense or did Bolton need more offense? I think that's a clear answer. And one of them didn't happen. So it is kind of like, all right, now you're going to lose by 12 instead of 16. Like, let's go, man. I love Bolton. But shout outs to the people who are excited about it that I'm shitting on right now by accident or inadvertently, because it's nice to see some enthusiasm, even if I know they're going down the rabbit hole of like, this is super sick, right? And it's like, did you watch Zane play Bolton that one time?
Yeah, I almost won. If I drew a yellow on that cash in, oh.
Cash in Bolton? I had you. On cash in right now.
I know. That was back in the day.
I wish I could watch people get psyched about the Bolton deck, because our LGS has not gotten either of the Armory decks, and it's so brutal. And Thomas is coming down for a hang, and he was like, messaged Levi and was like, hey, you got a Bolton deck? I'll pick it up when I'm there. And Levi was like, well, actually, no. Doesn't that suck?
In the YouTube comments or the Discord, comment if your LGS got them, because I think that I was not even aware of this until Taylor pointed it out. But like, our local shops did get them. I'm sure a lot of the LA people feel the same. I didn't realize that like they are hard to get.
Yeah.
For some regions. So I guess like, comment below. Like, is that a problem where you are? Like, are they hard to get or are they relatively available if you want?
Yeah, leave your zip code and the name of your local store, and we'll just compile the list and send it to LSS as one of our many grievances.
People were like catastrophizing the short printing or whatever wording they use. But like, I was like, who cares? Like, I can get them. But I didn't. I don't know. Like, it didn't seem to come.
Brother.
I actually don't have one yet. But
yeah, me neither.
Like, I'm not worried about it. But I guess maybe it's a problem. I don't know.
It's just I don't understand the reasoning. You know, like, we're kind of a new store. Armories are firing every week. But I mean, it's not like 20 people. You know, it's like 6 to 11 sometimes. And it would be like, you know, and this is something we'll talk about in this, but like, I mean, we have new players, like, hey, don't forget to put your pitch back under your deck at the end of your turn, new players. And what they would really love to have is an Armory deck. Just be like, boom, now we can play Classic Instructed because I have all of these cards. And just, it is helping us out zero, you know? And I get it that we're like a small store. I guess so. I am the LGS owner's landlord, so I'm going to say we. Not for his store, for his home. So it's even more dire. I just don't get it.
You send us those decks or I will kick him out on the street.
Yeah, if these decks fail, I'm going to have to kick him out.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Ellis Act? I'm going to use it. Welcome to California.
So I know it's like, maybe, you know, they miss out on like, you know, $120 worth of sales, you know, for their Legend Story Studios company. And they're like, whatever, who cares? That like hurts us zero. But at the same time, it's like, you know, that could snowball into more money or whatever. So I don't get it.
Yeah. Convert that Bolton deck into some asshole wasting $600 on 3 cases.
Yeah.
It's not a waste, Colin. You had fun opening it.
Yep.
Bless you.
Yep.
All right. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Fucking main topic time.
See, that should be a running banner at the bottom.
It just says main topic.
Yeah.
Why does my camera get so warm?
That's the main topic. It's main topic.
I don't know. You look like a golden god, the golden sun himself.
Jeez, what's going on?
Is that you, Victor? Victor?
My son. Where do we want to start with this here topic?
I think, you know, like I mentioned, and we all mentioned, we had a sad boy episode. We did the sad boy episode. And then we thought, why are we being so serious about this game? We could talk about that, but we already did. So we're just going to talk about just fucking having fun. Like, what? I guess there could be a couple things we talk about, you know, beyond, you know, what we've written down here. So I'm going off the cuff. Shit.
Hell yeah.
Thinking about what was the thing that was fun for us in the beginning, you know, I think, and that could be tied, you know, to the time and place of when this started, which I think for a lot of us that kind of is, but you know, there is something there in the core of like, there was excitement, there was fun. And then, you know, after something has changed and is that no longer the case, or did we change with it and we kind of left behind the thing that we actually had the most fun doing because we were trying to searching for like another version of it when that first version was there the whole time. And his name was Kano. We love him.
And he called the wind Mariah.
Yeah. So I guess to not lead into anything, that's what we're here to talk about. Why is the game so serious? And why can we make it more fun?
Taylor, I like your little summary, and I'm going to kick it over to you. I think you should read it.
What's my summary?
Your four lines. Bang, oh. Bang, bang, bang.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. So there's a lot of serious content. There's a lot of serious players making serious content. And you can choose how you engage with the game. Make a stupid pet deck. Boom. Solved.
It's a perfect list.
Episode is over. Thank you.
It's true, though. The content of the game has swayed pretty heavily to the serious side. Like, there are exceptions. There's some really good, fun content, like Three Floating and Us, of course. And, you know, there's like, it's not all serious, but the most common way that people engage with FAB content in general, I would assume, is like serious strategy, like, you know, podcasts, or like watching gameplay of like highly competitive stuff, which is great. That's kind of what the game is for at its core, but it's more than that. Like, it's a fun game, and it wasn't always like that. At some point there was a lot of content about like, look at this fun combo you can do with Chain or whatever. And even though that turned into a competitive thing, like the content or like the attitude of the content was like fun and interesting, as opposed to like, oh yeah, this is Zen deck is super optimized and your four blue hand converts for 25, which is true, but maybe not interesting to some people after a while. It gets old. It can grind you down and turn into a job, I think, for a lot of people. Yeah. So,
yeah, if we're spending most of our time playing this game, looking at a spreadsheet on how to optimize all of our turns, maybe that's not fun, but for some people it is. So it's, you know, everyone's fun is different. So I think that's probably a big caveat on this. Cause you know, for those serious players who make serious content, they might be having lots of fun, and that's great for them. But I don't know. It's not me.
I wonder, because like, I mean, some of my favorite content is 1-2 Juice. Like, that's hilarious. It's very good. The whole Prism Player skit is really good, etc. But there's, I think, a level of the and this isn't a bad thing. I think this is just maybe what this is my theory on this is the rise of fame of Arsenal Pass, like maybe the first content creators that really hit it in quotations very big, you know, won a lot, got a large following, were talking about the game very seriously, and then I think a lot of people were like, oh, that's the kind of content that works, we'll do our version of that because I love that and I want to see more of that, you know. And we even tried it on our podcast a little bit as well, but just, you know, I think kind of got bored about talking about that stuff every time and wanted to talk about all of the other stuff that there is in the game. So there's that. And then also the support of how the game is played is competitive, you know, and it's not so big that people have their own casual niches yet. And nobody's kind of figured that out because you can still just show up and be like, I don't know, my deck does math and your deck does what? Oh, math wins, you know? So yeah, I don't know. That's my theory on why that is.
You know what we should try next, you know, in the vein of copying Arsenal Pass, we should post some like really thirsty photos on Twitter.
I need to be wearing more tank tops while we
podcast. Like some really close up shots of like our thighs and our biceps and, you know, cause that's fab, you know.
That is a missed opportunity that we've had so far. Yeah.
All right. I'll do it right now.
Oh my God. Oh, jeez.
Oh my. That's a homeowner right there.
This is what I call a down payment.
And I think since we've talked that it came out 10 days ago, it was hearing everyone say like, oh, I relate to this. There was somebody else who wrote in a chat like, oh, why don't we play? I don't have to play what the Armory does. It would be cool to play Living Legend. That does behoove me in my mind to do some different deck building of Oldham's my favorite thing. I'm going to go put the Winter's Whale back in the thing. And if anybody wants to play this, it hasn't happened yet. In the past 10 days, I'm not saying I was going to enact change around the world, but maybe this is the second layer that you need to hear about this of like, if you are trying to have a casual relationship with this game, the onus is on you 100%. I don't think you can rely on Legend Story Studios to care about a PvE thing. I don't think you can rely on them to talk about, well, like maybe a raffle win is what you can hope for as a casual player of, I'm going to go give my $20 for my tournament and hope to win a raffle. But if I want to win the prizes that are provided by this company, I'm going to have to put in a lot of effort and a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of brain power for 4 hours on a Tuesday night to get those promos. And some of those promos are worth it. And some of those promos are, oh, I don't care about this. And maybe it is like, this is the wake up call of what do I want to do between now and 2 weeks from now, fab wise. And I personally want to play in a couple armories. And I completely got shut out and dominated on new a couple times where it's like, well, the new door has shut of, now everyone I'm playing against on a Tuesday is playing 9 cards of hate, and it's going to be really hard to win. Like, why are you guys playing Blanche? I got snagged for some bullshit. I was like, oh my God. And I played against 2 Arachnes on Tuesday, and they each have 15 D-Reacts. And I was like, I should not be sweating this hard to Burns beat Arachne. He's a fake hero. Like, what's going on?
Whoa, dude. Whoa.
Damn.
Okay.
I think I like what Blake said, though, that the onus is on you know, us individually to create our own fun. If the general competitive scene doesn't work for you that way, which could be a number of reasons, you know, I think like that's where we got to like shake it up. That's where we got to just decide like, you know what, I'm putting together Betsy and we're going to the armory and we're just going to like do the damn thing. And I know that against Zen, I probably am dead, but like, whatever, let's play the game twice. I don't know, like whatever you got to do to like, just psych yourself up to be there. If the armory is like your only chance, cause like the nice thing about an armory is that you don't have to organize it. You don't have to be like, guys, do you want to like meet up at this time? Like try to schedule six adults to get together at a one point in time is hard. Like that's why, you know, we just set meetings and recording times so that we don't have to decide when to do it anymore. It just happens. You know, it's just like any other thing. So it can take a lot of effort just to plan one night, like once, you know, let alone like a reoccurring thing. But, you know, with an armory, it's just built in. You say everyone knows they show up at this time, yada, 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 and you have a good time. You know, can you hijack that to your own wants? Like you could be like, hey, I'll be at armory, but I'm just going to be over here, you know, jamming games. If anyone else doesn't really care to like, you know, play in the armory, like we can just use that time and space to be together and still have fun. You know, so I think there's a lot to that, even though it can make some things harder. But you know, that can easily spin in other things. Like Blake was talking about, like, oh, Friday nights we're hanging out, we're playing at the store. And I'm just like, that sounds more up my alley, honestly. And like, you know, still trying to figure out my schedule to make that work, but I will try and get it to happen soon, I think. But yeah, I think it is a bit more effort, which that can be a bit of, you know, it can be off-putting, it can be hard to do, but it really is like, it's a mindset thing, you know, because if you're out here just trying to have fun and the people you're playing with are trying to win, like that's just kind of a clash of, you know, that you're gonna have to overcome any cognitive dissonance related to that to really just be, you know, focused on what you're doing, setting your own fun game, set your own side quest, and just try to make the most of that time, because it's just too hard to, you know, fit into someone else's version of fun sometimes. So, you know, it really is up to us to figure out what is fun and how we can express that and like maintain that. Cause you know, if something's, you know, I was having a great time when we went to Armory after our Sad Boy episode up until the third game where I lost. And, you know, and then it was just like, okay, it's hard to lose all the games in a row. That's not something I, you know, can just feel good as I get more and more tired. But then also, you know, I probably should have been like, Taylor, we're going home. But, you know, I didn't feel like cutting the night short. So
no, you absolutely should have.
I know. I know.
Fine. Yeah, we need to talk afterwards. Sorry, whatever. So right now at our armories, so it's July and it's the Coldfoil Mistblades, and they fucking come in left hand, right hand, which is crazy. And there are two, myself and Levi, serious in quotations, assassin players. And Armory has been so sweaty all month. And you know what we're playing? We played fucking Commoner the other day. We played Blitz. We played Draft. We have Commoner again this week. Like, I'm fighting for my life. And I'm playing formats I have no clue what's going on other than Draft. So that has added a ton of fun. And what we've been doing is on Sunday after Armory, we're going to our local cider bar and we're having some ciders. And then we're just like trying to talk about how we can freaking win the Mistblade in the next week in the next format. So there's like no format. It's not CC every week. So it's like, okay, they brought this deck, so I'll tech against that. It's like, we played Blitz and then we did Draft and then now we got Commoner. So I got to build a whole other deck and try to figure out metagame what everybody else is going to play and try to get that left facing Mistblade. And I know that's maybe like a serious thing that I'm doing, but in the least serious formats, and it's been so fun. And it's like, it's very low stakes. And it's great. I would recommend.
That does sound fun.
Yeah.
It's like, it is a lot of work. You got to build all these decks, but you know, I like that you like it and that you're having fun doing it.
Thanks.
Betsy's already been brought up once, so we're going to dive back into the Betsy well.
Thank you. Love
that.
The armory that works best for my schedule is Tuesday Night Blitz, and it's Blitz every week. And that the shop closes too early to do anything else. So we're playing Blitz every week. I've been playing fun decks. I mean, competitive, but fun. Like I played New, I played Leviah, and then this week it's Betsy's turn, and I cannot wait to play Betsy Blitz this week. And I just think that like there's room to engage with the game that way. Like not everybody has the cards for every deck. Like I don't have the cards for every deck, but like trade decks with your friends, play bad decks, buy the cheap decks when they're cheap. Like bet big is worthless right now. If you don't have bet bigs, they're a dollar or something. Buy three of them. Maybe she'll be good one day. And I think that like approaching the game that way at times is just a good reset of like, oh, this is fun that I'm playing a big bop in a game. You know?
And I think earlier too of like recognizing who you are in your group is something I think is important, because you see some people on Twitter of like, I only like playing UPF, and it's like that has to be like you're 1 in 20 people that love like only playing the game with UPF, and it's probably really hard for you to get the 4 to 7 people you want to. And some people be like, more than 4 in UPF, that's insane. But like if you're the only person in your meta in UPF, I know there's a dude who talks about it on Twitter all the time. I'm literally talking about that dude. It's like table somebody. Like it's something where like find those other people from other metas, or like write it on your Twitter bio of like, I'm always down for UPF. Call me for a web good camera time. Game. Or like
call me.
Write a Twitter right now, or in our comments of this video, be like, I really want to do Commoner for this game. Or I really want to, I love building Cube. Obviously, there's maybe some of these other resources that do exist. I'm not saying we're the start of this. But if you need this, I think it's worth asking people, I want to do something different. I don't want to quit on this game. I like the game mechanics. I like most of the people that I play with. It's time to figure out how I can enjoy my time with this game as much as possible. And like a dumb thing I did is like, I had a Riptide deck that was built from We Make Best. We Make Best, I think you mentioned this earlier or whatever. Like, did you talk about We Make Best this time, or did we talk about it on Saturday?
On Saturday.
Saturday.
So okay.
Not in public yet.
Like, We Make Best, I think is, click on their subscribe button. Watch their videos of like, I'm going to do a busted combo. Doesn't make any fucking sense. And it's not going to win. But you're going to have a turn where you shoot 7 arrows in one turn. And like, whether you win or lose, that 7 arrow turn is pretty cool. You could be the 7 arrow. We have a BFF who's the Talishar Lexi person for Blitz.
Yeah.
Try out the Talishar Lexi thing or whatever. Like, do something extremely unique that wasn't supposed to happen is something like, so I am building, I had the We Make Best aggro Riptide deck from forever ago of shoot 3 arrows in one turn and they'll come in for 7/7/4. That's crazy. And like now I'm switching it to Anthony Pham's list that he put out, because he's like, this is super good into both New and Enigma. And you maybe have a 50-50 into Zen as long as he doesn't blow you out. And now it's like, well, this, the people in Orange County are used to Anthony Pham's list, but if you travel an hour down to Odyssey, is anybody going to know what this Riptide list? I'm not even going to know what this Riptide list is doing. And like, it's Icelander, but it's Riptide. And you're like,
it's so good. Okay, it's so good.
I'll try that shit out. So like, I have 80% of those cards, or 95, and like, I'm gonna have to unsleeve my codexes, unsleeve my Command and Conquers, unsleeve my fucking, like, the E-Strikes too. It's so much unsleeving. But it's like, okay, cool. I need Battering Bolts or whatever still. I need Murky Waters still. Please send me Murky Waters. Please send it to me.
Is that the new one? I might have an extra one.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. My friend Colin's got me. It's just something where I'm going to try that, because like, I could lose as new into, but like, it's time to, instead of calling the metagame dead, you need to be the next wave of, I'm going to change it. Like, somebody already zigged, so now I'm going to zag, and then somebody has to zig to me, and then I'm going to reverse zag to them. But if you just go, oh, that's it, I only built one deck. I know decks are very expensive to make, so it is kind of like relying on resources you have again. Or if you are somebody who's like, I made a bunch of money in July, what could I do with it? Should I buy another board game or should I buy another deck? Is something where you're like, maybe this is the time to enjoy Fab a little more. I do need to spend $100 and buy all the Ranger Majestics I never thought I'd have. And now I have Remorseless and Battering Bolts and Murky Waters for some reason for the rest of my life. And if Riptide becomes meta because he's super good into Wizard for some reason, I don't think that's going to happen. But like, then you're already ready to go. I don't know if we're already saying shit where it's like, okay, we get this. Like, but I think the idea I'm trying to say is, be the change you want to be. Reach out to like-minded people that maybe don't live in your area but could webcam with you, because a lot of this game was built on webcam. And I know that at least one person in my meta does wax and wane, or whatever the right word is, to be like, I miss those days of meeting a brand new person. They're in Colorado. I'm in LA, but we set up a time. It's time to play. Ooh, how's it going? Cool. I don't know who you are. I'm unique. It's like the fourth round at a calling when you guys are both 2-1 and like, oh, I still like this game and I'm meeting a new person. What busted thing are you about to do? I'm going to try and do this first. I don't know if I'm just explaining how Fab works to you guys, but like, there's something about that where it's like, if you miss something about the game, don't not try to do that. Like if I missed Chicago, I would fly to Chicago.
Yeah.
If I missed hot dogs, I would look at up how to make hot dogs. So if you're missing a certain meta,
that's the crazy part though.
Like
good luck.
Yeah.
If you're missing a certain meta, or you're missing playing a certain hero, or God, I wish I could play Dromai, play Dromai. And if you miss it on paper, play Dromai on paper and trick one of your friends to doing that. Or hey, I hated Dromai. Now that I have Zen, can you bust out your old Dromai deck and let me murder it with Zen real quick? Just to get some cathartic, like, okay, I don't have to worry about Dromai and Living Legend anymore, because Zen literally murders every dragon and then still does a bunch of shit.
Two things. One, if you're looking for like-minded folks, subscribe to our podcast and support us on Patreon, and then join our Discord and we can hang out all the time. $4 a month. There you go. It's going to be great.
Cheapest friendship you'll ever have.
So easy.
Yo, we should get a webcam tournament in there.
Oh, shit.
Be the change.
If you want to organize that, Zane, go for it. I love it.
Hell yeah, Zane, I'll
participate in it and play it with you.
All right. I'm going to think on that.
Okay, sick. Or if somebody in the Discord wants to organize a webcam tournament, I will play. I'll 100% be there.
Or if someone not subscribing to our podcast wants to do it, I'll pay your $4 for this next month So you can organize the whole thing.
Boom, there you go.
Slide it. I've got $4 from
that's a deal.
It's because he gets it from CVS like once a month. CVS just gives Blake like $5.
So nice.
He's just that big of a patron of CVS. The other thing is shout out to friend of the show, Oliver Fye, who has been known to, when he gets paired in like a big tournament against his bad matchup and doesn't want to play it, just scoops and then whips out, boom, bento box, and is like, should we play this instead for our time? Because this is more fun than the matchup we're about to play. And people will be like, oh yeah, hell yeah. And then they'll play bento box. So you could also bring that and be like, you know what? I just can't take playing X deck right now. Here's bento box, which costed me $40 to put it together or whatever it is, you know?
I love that attitude. I love the way that Oliver approaches the game and the fun of the game. And like, he's had like big success in the last couple months. Like, he won a Battle Hardened on Hybrid Prism. Like, I heard he jump scared Brody Spurlock when he flipped over Iris into Azalea, and Brody had like 6-7 power poppers that were useless because Oliver just likes to play auras, and he played it that way, and then he won the Battle Hardened.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And he played a Dromai list that was like very not what you'd expect. Like, he was playing blue Waning Vengeance out of spite because everyone told him it was bad, and he was like, I like it. And then he top eights the calling playing blue Waning Vengeance, and it's just like, I like that.
Yeah.
Play what you like.
Enigma, right? Enigma, not Dromai.
What did I say? Did I say Dromai?
Yeah.
You did.
Somebody got very excited, and I wanted to crush their hope. Dromai is not legal.
Wow. She gone.
He also was a good Dromai player. But yeah, it was on Enigma, of course. The blue Waning Vengeance hero. But yeah, I don't know. I just like the approach to the cubing, which again, I can't speak highly enough of. We've waxed poetic about cubing a lot, and I would do it more. But just, yeah, like approaching the game in a fun way, finding what you like and then doing that, even if it's not the best thing to be doing in that moment.
Yeah.
Do more of that.
Yeah. Those are all great examples, you know, just finding the dumb combo and just trying to do that and being excited when it happens, or giving up on the things that do the opposite of make you happy and make you sad and angry because you have to play this horrible matchup. You're just like, well, fuck it. Well, we don't have to do that. We could just do something else for 45 minutes together and you still get the points and that's fine. Even like, you know, Zane had mentioned, I don't know if it was on the podcast or just when we were talking, but like in the Azalea mirror, Red in the Ledger sucks, right? It's Red in the Ledger. Yeah,
taking
the ledger sucks. Hey, you want to just take them out and just play a regular, you know, game where we don't have to worry about who draws those first? And fucking shout out to Del Taco. He was like, "Yeah, let's do it." And it was like, "Great, this is so fun." Like,
Blake, do you have any commentary on Red and Ledger? Or
also, if you're thinking about something of the mirror match sucks, realize you are one half of the mirror that is being reflected on your opponent that may not have Red in the Ledger or that may not have those power cards. So if you hate playing into Red in the Ledger, maybe your opponents do too. And you could play Betsy in real life. So let's just all play a Living Lurker. Living Lurker, maybe?
Greatest format.
Truly.
Greatest format. Yeah. I think, too, there's precedent for your pet cards or pet deck to do well at some point. You know? I must be the only Arachne player who swears by Graven Call. You know? Maybe I'm not. Maybe there's somebody else.
Not the only, but yes.
Yeah. But it's like, that is my absolute favorite card in Fab, for sure. And I've tried to put it in new. I've tried to put it blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm like brewing new with contracts to see if I can use Graven Call, you know, so I can have the silver, et cetera. And that's just super fun. You know, I find that really fun. And I encourage you to not be like, well, the other decks aren't running it. Arsenal Pass said it's bad, so I'm not going to use it. The Runaway said it's bad, so I'm not going to do it. It's like, fuck that. Have they tried everything to in every permutation and play it like the way you do? Probably not.
Not even the devs do that.
Yeah. And that's a great point.
It's actually true, though. It's like actually a good point. Yeah.
Is that on the recent dev chat, which don't get me started on dev chat, but dev chat, you gotta get it together, guys. Your opportunity.
Why dev chat so whack?
So whack. So much guac.
So whack.
They kind of alluded to that most of the people in the office kind of just play their pet deck and have like a office meta of potentially bullshit in quotations compared to like what we're seeing at the Pro Tour and playing things that are fun and they make the game, you know what I mean? And know all the broken combos and blah, blah, blah. So just like, yeah, all in quotes, just let's just do that. Let's promote that some more, you know, who cares? And there'll be a weird period. There'll be growing pains for sure where people are like, why are you playing that card? It's bad. Why are you playing that hero? It's bad. You know, blah, blah, blah. It's bad. The math on that doesn't add up. And then you can just be like, I don't care.
See, it's not math. It's music, baby.
Yeah. It's called art, dog. And then walk away.
Levels of enlightenment. I think that's what I like about new. And I was being like, new is really cool. But now there's some hate towards new of like the actual cards. And you're like, what I liked about new was I don't even know what my turn two turns from now is, because it's going to be a card off the top of your deck. I'm going to try to play four things at once. Maybe a codex gets thrown in there. Maybe you don't block the dagger. And now I'm swinging surgical for five with go again. And now you're gonna have to block that. And maybe the slither goes here. Maybe the slither goes there. Maybe the fang strike comes here. Okay, cool. Or maybe I'll just do the mask early, 'cause I hope it's a D react or whatever. And like the fact that that is now like, we were only 1 month into all those questions, and like everyone figures out how to play against Dory, and maybe people are figuring out how to play against new, and like it is time. It's not time. We just got a new set, but like I'm hoping in every single one of these things, it is the twinning blade comes around of your all you have to do is block nine against Dory. Well, now she has Twinning Blade, and that prevents all of your only Welcome to Wraith thought processes of how to play that hero. Now the Crucible cards come out. And the thought process I'm actually saying right now is I like the decks where I don't know what's going to happen in two turns. And those decks, like, they draw cards, and I'm left with, what do I have after a Blood Rush? What do I have after a Tome of Divinity? What do I have after the Codex and Hero Power? And sometimes it does make sense to do the math. And sometimes it does make sense to, no, I'm going to pitch everything for Genesis and ask you a question. Or I'm going to do 28 damage with Leviah on this Blood Rush turn. Like, I had a crazy Blood Rush turn last time. Because I played Leviah on Sunday, and it was kind of like, that was yesterday. Holy shit. Like, it was like, Leviah is a good deck for me to play because it hits my brute stuff. It's not bad currently. And I'm going to have a story either way. I'm either going to kill them and do some crazy shit, because I did, I have an agility and a might up from my drink the beer. And I drink the beer, blood rushed, did Endless Moth for 11 with go again. And my opponent was just like, could you fuck off? And I was like, what? Like,
can we colloquially call that drink the beer now?
I mean, I've been wanting to for years. And then it was claw. So it's 21 damage. But, oh, there's blood rushes where it could have been 28. But, like, endless mawing was pretty sick for 11. Of, like, this is as good as an endless maw is going to be. Was it 12?
Well, you had a might, right?
Oh, shit. Maybe it was just an agility then. No, I think it was drink the beer. Okay, well, I'll never get that point of damage back. But what I'm saying is I built a Reptide deck. I'm playing Levia. I'm doing some others. Like, my friends are playing. Instead of when we were watching people on Friday night with the Bolton deck, there wasn't a second game going. People were focused on what the Bolton decks were doing. We watched a Bolton Mirror. We watched a Bolton into New. We watched another Bolton. And somebody was like, these combos are so cool because they haven't played it before. But some of those combos are cool of like the defense combos now.
Bolton is cool.
Bolton is cool. He needs another piece of jewelry that gives him. I was trying to explain like how he could be busted. And I was literally explaining library. But he needs library as a jewelry that sits on his body that he doesn't have to pitch cards for.
Yeah.
Okay, that's me talking for those 3 minutes. You
broke it. Great job.
I think that's right. I mean, you kind of summed up what we were talking about earlier, which is like you're getting back to the thing that is fun, where, you know, you have an idea of what's fun and you're like, I want to play Reiner. I love Reiner. But then you're like, but Levia is better and I can do this and I can have fun doing it. And, you know, I can create these moments that are memorable, whether I win or lose. And, you know, that's the feeling we're all chasing, right? Is like those moments when you're just like, oh, like you feel like you're on the cusp of something crazy and you're like going for it and you're trying to do the math, but you're kind of nervous and tired and you can't quite do it. And you're just like, we're fucking going to do it. We're going to roll these dice. I'm going to go for a blood, you know, whatever. I'm going to do this one thing and hope I draw a third blood rush. Somebody did this to me the other night. Like, and I've got the third blood rush. Oh, it was Evan. Shout out to Evan. You fucking destroyed me. I think that's
Shout in Evan.
Yeah.
Or whisper in Evan.
Evan, quit doing this shit to people that are coming to their first armory in 6 stop. But yeah, it's those moments we're like chasing. And I think if you can really, you know, share that with people, or if you're like, you know, if you know someone that's been like having a rough time, you'd be like, here, you should play this fun deck and just like, you know, ask Blake to borrow his deck that he's got 20 of in his bag for some reason.
The other thing I did on Sunday, as I'm being like, Levi is super fun. I got the buy in the middle of the turn, or in the middle. It was.
I love it when like I'm about to lose and I get the buy in the middle of the game. It's like the best. I got the buy, sick.
I got the buy and I just bought $300 worth of Star Wars cards, like an idiot. Of like this is how Fab is fun. Like this armory rules, but it was so hot. They had boxes of, and by 300 I mean, I think it was
one box.
It was 400.
Is the new set of Star Wars good? Is that cool?
I got 2 Darth Mauls or whatever, so that was sick. I got the dragon. I got the Poe Dameron. And then it was like time to build decks, and it was like you can do your deck as long as you spend another $150. I was like, God damn it! Me having some of those cards from the first set, and I was like, This feels as bad as Fab for building shit.
I just might pick up the 2-player starters indefinitely.
I think that's a smart thing.
Because that's what I have currently, and it is a really fun experience. Flesh and Blood, why are you not doing that?
Why is there not another Dory versus Reinhardt thing?
They have First Strike decks coming, guys.
Are they built to be played against other First Strike decks? Is that the only sentence of copy that we have about those things?
I don't know.
Terra,
we needed a new brand of a new brand of product is what we really needed, because Classic Battles was bad.
Armory decks aren't doing it either. I don't know what's going on.
I do have a question for all three of you guys.
Okay. And
I'm going to not say my opinion after this.
Perfect.
I believe you.
Fucking prove it.
Yeah. You won't, coward.
Ask the question. Ask the question.
So LSS does a lot of things different from set to set, from product to product. Does the amount of stuff you have to remember from what set is what, or which set has Marvels, or which product has what, is it exhausting to you? Or is this kind of how card games work? And if they consolidated that, would it be easier for new players?
That's a good question. And thank you for asking that question, Blake. And I will answer that question as soon as I stop talking. I think the answer is maybe yes. I think it's kind of exhausting because I think it's just part of card games, but I feel like Fab has evolved like four times since we started, and it's kind of pivoted in trying to, you know, get market share and attract new players and to satisfy their current player base and balance the game and do all these things. And I think they've done a pretty good job. They've been, you know, I think being flexible has allowed them to do that, but it is a little bit like, oh yeah, this set is cool because it has like this stuff going on. It has all these Marvels. It has all this stuff going on. This set is not as cool because it basically has no Marvels, and you know, it's got one class and it's not a class that most people like. And you know, but I think set to set, I think that is cool. I think product wise, I don't understand what they're doing with, like, oh, now you just have to buy all the Blitz decks and it comes in this weird long box with the playmat. Oh, and now here's Classic Battles and we'll never do another Classic Battles, even though it was clearly branded to be like, you can just pick this up and these are meant to play against each other. And, you know, it's learning to play the game and it should be fun. It's like, why did we not, like, obviously they sold a lot of those because motherfuckers have like three of those stupid Dory cards that they had to buy from two separate versions of this box. So like it worked out for selling, but it probably didn't work to grow the game because they put chase cards in them. So the only people who bought them were fucking Dory players. But, and now it's like, now we have first strike decks and you're just like, make up your mind on how you want to do this. It just seems like a little chaotic. And it just looks like they have no idea what they need to do to attract like a more casual player and a new player. And I think it is a hard thing to figure out because, you know, pitching a TCG to somebody who's not really into one already is like, hey, do you want to just spend money on this one game for the rest of your life, like all the time and like a lot of it? Well, I got a great opportunity for you. Some of these cards are worth a lot until that hero is unplayable and then they're worth nothing.
I think that's how every TCG is, though. If they're in vogue, they're worth more than when they're not, unless they're like a Charizard.
For sure. No, I'm just saying like pitching a TCG to anybody is hard.
Yeah.
You know, so like trying to figure out that thing that's attractive to a more casual, you know, and I think like obviously board gaming is like the audience you want to hit, which, you know, in my mind, the way you get board gamers is by showing them that here's just a room full of people who will play this game with you like all the time, whereas like trying to get people to play board games sometimes is very difficult. And I think that's one of the things that's attracted me to it, because like I love board games, but I'm much harder to get a board game night going than it is to just go to Armory on Tuesday and hang out with some chill people and play a good game, you know, because it at the heart of it, it's a good game too. But you know, but I to answer Blake's question, because now I've gone on a huge tangent, is that it is, I think it is a lot, but I think I appreciate it in the set. But in the other products, I think it's a little like they're just throwing anything at the wall to see what sticks.
So it is a lot. There's like a lot of products ish, but I think that you can kind of ignore the vast majority of everything and just buy sets and be good. You know, like, sure, you may not have Earth lore empowerments if you do that, but for the most part, you can just buy the sets. And I think with the exception of Bright Lights and maybe Dusk Till Dawn, depending on how you feel about it, like the sets have been mostly successful and they've kind of built on each other. Like, I like that. It's kind of crazy that the first Marvel was Starvo. It's like kind of a shame, kind of a travesty, honestly. But like that, I feel like they like stumbled into that. They're like, oh, wait, we can do this? People like this? Oh, okay. Here's dragons. You guys like this? Oh, how about angels? And then it's like, oh, now this is just like a big part of what we're looking for. I don't know. I feel like it's cool that they like worked their way from like, oh, you're trying to open the rare legendary to like, okay, the game's too expensive. Okay, let's make them a little more common and then let's give them something else to chase and make them like exceptionally cool looking and unique. And I think like the way that they've kind of found their way on what makes a product interesting is good. Like, I think they've progressed. We obviously are huge fans of like the art design and direction of the sets and like how they really have improved. Like, I remember when Toa came out and I thought Toa art was like the best thing ever. And it is awesome. Like, the flavor of Toa is incredible. But if you go back and look, like, it, like, we've come a long way. Like, the game, the cards look better now than they did. Like, look at WTR. Like, there's a lot of cards in WTR that are like not good.
Shout out to Demolition Crew.
Shout out to Slogism.
Slogism, baby. But yeah, I don't know. I just think like cumulatively, like the products have like evolved a lot and in like an organic way that makes a lot of sense. So yeah, some of the Blitz decks, the classic battles kind of swing and miss, but like they don't feel necessary. Like, I don't feel like you've like super missed out if you've skipped every single non-set product. I don't know. Does that answer your question, Blake? Is that kind of what you were getting?
I think yes. And like, a thought process for me is like the super rare. Now we've switched the border of the card. We went from there's three heroes, there's four heroes, there's three heroes, there's four heroes, there's six heroes, there's three heroes. And you're like, does that fatigue the player base of like, will you make up your mind already? Or whenever they go, this is the, now there's reprint heroes. Well, now there's six heroes, but it's not just for baby, for young heroes. It's for the whole thing. Like, I think there's a layer of this of, I'm dialed into this. I have a podcast and I'm on Twitter like a motherfucker, doing every, paying attention to everything. I don't go to major tournaments unless it's in my state or Nevada, but like, there is a thing where I am dialed into products, spoilers, whatever. But yeah. I think for a brand new player, there's no way they could follow the same 200 people that I have. There's no way they're getting the same Discord experience that I have. And there's like just a thing where you're like, well, if I can't beat the big Zen deck that these people are complaining about, should I come back in April? Should I come back in 2027? Or should I wait for PvE? Or what's the commander version of this? And like, it's just a thing where the I could stop talking here and just say that, but like, the idea of the cards and the products have changed so much that even me as someone paying attention for 3 years, it's hard to remember from set to set.
Well, I think you hit on a really good point, Blake and Zane. Like, I love what you guys have said there. And like,
and Colin.
Thank you.
And distinctly not Colin.
I am a person who has pauses between ideas and that sort of thing. If you have not listened to our podcast, I will sometimes pause and then you guys will try to interject. And then anyway, And then I keep talking and then it's weird and et cetera. So just Blake and Zane, who I agree with. I don't find the sets hard to keep up with, but there definitely was a point in time where I was like, Blitz decks are like not for me because they're not the, in quotation, serious player product, it seems like. And even the like tiny chase cards that are in there, if I was a collector, I actually don't care about collecting because, like you said, like Marvels are so much sicker and legendaries are so much more useful. But I mean, I'm looking right now, like maybe this is a good foil, is like Star Wars Unlimited, I think is a good game, but I don't have space in my life for another game, especially one that's already having like printing issues and stuff. But what they really nailed was that two-player starter in that first set. I have played that just Luke and Vader so many times, and it's so fun, and it's such a good experience. It's so good that I'm going to probably spend the $30 to get the next set two-player starter. And the fact that Flesh and Blood does not have that at the $30 price point is just crazy to me, because if you do play Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon and you're interested in this game, it's so weird to get into it. You're like, well, do I go to this draft? Do I go to this Classic Instructed that everybody's playing? There's like not a product for me, which there now is. Maybe if your store has the Armory decks, you could pick those up and then play. But it's not that beginner experience that you kind of want and can replay, you know what I mean? And then that maybe leads into you getting serious about the game. And like, I'm gonna pick up that Shadows of Galaxy or whatever two-player starter, even because I know it's probably gonna be just as good as the other one, and that's how I will engage with that game. And I would buy those products in Flesh and Blood if they were that good. But they probably got to get rid of like the collector stuff out of them, or power cards. Like, I don't, as an entrenched player, need, like, they're doing it with the Armory decks too. Like, I don't need those Majestics you're putting in there. Like, I don't want to also have to buy that product. Just, I will only buy booster sets if I'm like entrenched in the game. I don't need, you know, they're like, oh, you could buy singles or whatever, but it's like, I don't know if that is a good answer. Am I making sense? Is the overall idea coming across here?
It is. Fab is in year five. Why is there not the Reinar versus Dorinthea that you don't want to upgrade? I think that's what the difference is. But the Star Wars thing, they have cards you can only get in there. You need three copies of them that you could go put in other decks, but you don't have the thought process of, I want to make these decks even better, because they interact like a glove.
Yeah.
And maybe we don't have all those, the clearing bellow, the pack call didn't interact specifically with Dorinthea, but maybe there was a card that could be like, I don't want to play this in CC because my Reinar card says Dorinthea's name on it. My Brute card says, against Dorinthea, block two extra if you discarded a six on a reckless swing type effect. And in that intro product, it'd be so good, but you wouldn't even put that in sideboard because it's not a Dory meta. But if there is a Dory meta one day, Reinar has the tools because of that random thing. Like, that's one thing I was super into in Magic once, was here's a 60 card deck that's split up into two 30s, I think. And it was green versus red, but they interacted of like, this one adds 1/1 counters, this one takes 1/1 counters away or something. But they fit together of, I'm doing the exact opposite strategy of you, and who could do it better? And that's something that, like, I didn't get into Magic from it, but I was very like, this is super cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know if a reaction and defense reaction is as glove fitting as maybe they could do that. And if it was like, who's the best wizard that an intro player could play versus the best blue person that could have AB3 and take on the wizard thing and throw big damage back or something, like do a glove like that. And maybe that's what First Strike is, of like a Runeblade, Lightning Runeblade versus Earth Guardian is actually going to be really cool. And then I'd shut up and I'd go, oh, sick. And I would buy two and have them in my bag and give them to new players. Just go play this in the corner while we do CC.
I think the history packs blitz decks were as close as we have gotten to that. Those were, I've played a few armories with those exclusively, and that's a pretty tight, sweet meta. And those are really good. But they're like,
Bravo's a little much, but
they're hard to get a hold of though. You know?
And I touched the original very expensive ones because that's how old I am. I got the Bravo and the Dory one of those. And my friend Sharth had Katsu and Reinar. And those were like copies of three and like 60 cards. So that, like, we had that already. They did know that this was their premier format. I had a 60 card deck where there wasn't any legendaries. Like, that's another topic of like, when is there going to be a legendary in one of these products? Is that never going to happen? Too bad, so sad. Or is that something where we had a dual cap in Everfest? Can we put dual caps in a armory product of like, here is your legendary, but or people going to go, oh my God, my Arcanite skull cap that isn't hollow is even now more devalued because you can get it in the armory box. I'm just saying a lot of shit, but I think this is an interesting topic where it's like, if we're talking about, we need new players, I don't know. Like, hopefully these First Strike decks have addressed all these and we're about to be super excited. But if the First Strike decks fail as bad as the Dory versus Reinar box and getting new players, fail as bad as Round the Table, like, we're on our third thing of this is for products for new players. And I don't know anybody that came from Round the Table. And I saw some people buy the Dory versus Reinar box, but they don't play anymore. So it's like, what is the new product that's going to get like, holy shit, now there's 10 more people at my armory that are brand new.
Random cards in the armory deck. Then you get like good hits and you're like, ooh, this armory deck. And you give them that little taste of that, and then they're
three
like,
booster packs in there.
That they should put booster packs in those fucking
things. Pokemon does that.
Yeah.
They're like, buy this thing. Also, there's two or three random booster packs in here.
Yeah.
And neither of those they have 65 cards in them, the armory decks. So they're not even an 80. And like, how much would it cost to put Arcane Barrier just in case the first person you sit up against is the bitch ass wizard player? And by the way, there's about to be three more wizard people in the meta, or even a Runeblade. Like, by the way, if there are rune chants, you're just going to be screwed.
And the Azalea deck doesn't even come with Bullseye Bracer, so it won't have AB.
Went out of its way to not have AB.
took it out on purpose. How did we get here? This is great. Great.
But why so serious?
Exactly.
Because it's hard to be casual when we don't have casual products and casual players influxed into our locals.
Boom.
Boom.
You're welcome.
Why so serious? It's hard to have fun when everyone's testing for bigger tournaments, when everyone wants the armory promos more than they want to have fun on a Tuesday.
So why so serious?
It's a beautiful poem we're writing.
So foster that fun spirit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We can be the ones having fun, and we can help other people have fun.
The man in the mirror, you know?
Can't we? Can we not?
We totally can. Great episode, guys. I think we nailed it. This is a perfect part two of Bev Chat. If you haven't listened to part one,
final thing, I gotta really make LSS pissed at me right now.
We got another Isaac on the podcast. Shout out to Isaac.
The BNR, they were like, oh fuck, we didn't know. We had no
didn't even say anything.
I know, about crazy.
We had no clue. We had no clue in testing. And then later in the same thing, they go, it was clear that bonds of ancestry was the clear problem. It's like, how is it clear if you guys completely missed it in testing? So if LSS is bad at balancing games sometimes, maybe LSS is bad at other things sometimes. Maybe LSS is bad at hiring on-screen talent sometimes. Maybe they're bad at something else sometimes. And so maybe LSS doesn't have the keys to getting casual players, because maybe it's just not something that they can truly put themselves in what they would want. And
yet.
I got to stop there. But like, if Jet Ski is cooler to be on than finding products for casuals, you're probably going to Jet Ski.
Dude. You got a Jet Ski? We going in the reservoir?
Hey, Blake, do you want to hear about my cool Leviathan turn?
Yes.
Taylor, do you want to hear it?
Yeah, of course I do, dude.
All right.
Close this out.
Ready? 3-card hand.
Roll scabs, blue. Roll a one, pass.
No scabs. This is a hooves list, baby. We play hooves.
Hooves.
God intended. My 3-card hand is blue. Slitherpede, Art of War. We're moving. We're schmoving.
That's the only three cards you need, baby.
I have an agility up from discarding an agile windup. So I go plus one, banish, draw two. Two cards off the top, Blood Rush, Beast Within.
Oh, let's go.
Drop it on the table. Beast Within, first flip, yellow, Hungering Slaughter Beast. Lose one life. That's okay. Take the yellow. Rip two off the top. A blue and a Boneyard Marauder. So we Slitherpede, nine, go again. Claw, claw, Boneyard Marauder for nine. 28. 3-card 28.
Ooh.
Everybody go play Levia. It's
that's how you have fun.
Did you use your hoofs that turn at all?
Nope, I had an agility.
It could have been even... Dude. So all you have to do...
And that person quit the game right after they were not having
this was in Blitz too.
Yeah.
What was your opponent's health before you started this turn?
It was a Dio, and he was at full health at the start of the turn, and he was trying to block, like not block at all, because he had a boom grenade, and then he had to block. He was
sad. Dude, I love this game, man. That's I think a good ending is like, it's so fun. Just figure out all the rest and we'll be fine. We just got to figure it out.
Game is good.
Figure out the rest.
Get to play the game. Game's good. Thank you everybody for being here. This is the end of episode 2 of Bev Chat. We don't know when episode 3 is going to drop, but we'll let you know when that episode actually happens.
I'm going to get a haircut between now and then. This is getting ridiculous.
I am getting a haircut between now and then.
I most likely will as well.
I'm not due for another year, so.
Yeah.
Sheesh. All right. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. Love you.
Bye.
Zane just loves show and tell like that. So
I do. It's true.
First edition EPOT.
Full foil meat axe, baby.
Milo Thatch.